Well, it's the Christmas season, and I wanted to think with you a little bit about the coming of Jesus. Wanted to think about the coming of Jesus, so let's turn to one of those texts that really discusses and brings to our thoughts, that speaks to us about the coming of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. You're thinking to yourself, Christmas? Where's he going with this? Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. Are you with me? Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, meaning whom? Jesus, yes. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. And so we have here the disciples walking along the road to Emmaus, right? And they're discussing Jesus, they're thinking about him, but the problem is, as far as they know, Jesus is dead. That's right. And they're thinking, what happened? We were sure this was the guy. Did we miss something? The one who was to come, the coming of the Messiah. Did we miss something in the coming of the Messiah? Did we miss it? And so, beginning with Moses, Jesus took them through the prophets and told them about his coming. This is a great Christmas verse, huh? Because it's about the coming of Jesus. Precisely what they needed to hear. Because they weren't sure. What's the deal? Is this really, really him? And so, as Jesus did, so will we do today. We will look at the scripture to think about the coming of Jesus and why he came. Because, you see, the coming of Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem. Sorry. The coming of Jesus started in the mind of God. It started with his thinking about you and me. It started with his purposes in blessing us. And it started with the fact that God, in spite of our sin, would not give up on us. It started with God. And so let's take a look at this. You know about God's thoughts, right? You know that famous verse that talks about God's thinking about us, right? Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 29, right? Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Look it up on your phone. You know, it's the way of the future, I guess. All these things. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Maybe you have the word plans there, but I like some of the older versions. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God is telling us what he thinks about us. And some of us are tempted to think, yeah, I know God's thoughts toward me. You scoundrel, you sinner, you terrible person. Is that what God's thinking about us? Yeah. We might have done some things wrong. In fact, all of us have, right? Amen. We have done things wrong. And God hates sin, yes. But what are His thoughts toward you? Yes. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil. To give you what? Future. That's right. Or an expected end in some versions. And a hope. A future and a hope. God has good thoughts for you. God's work for us began in His mind with good thoughts for us, with love for us, with thoughts to bless and not to curse, with thoughts to benefit and not to crush. God loves you. That's what God has in mind for you. That is God's thoughtfulness. Okay, ladies, what are men never supposed to forget? No, it's not the start of football season, guys. Sorry. Anniversary and birthday, right? Gotta remember those, right? Gotta remember those because it shows thoughtfulness. I'm thinking of you. I remember, no elbows. Come on now. No elbows here. Remember that. It says thoughtfulness. It says, I remember you. You're special to me. You're important to me. God says, I know the thoughts I have toward you. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of a future and a hope. Those are good thoughts. Those are good thoughts that God has for us. And that's what started in God's mind as He considers us. And we might think, oh yeah, yeah, for a while that was all good and stuff, but now, you know, maybe not. Maybe He's run out of patience with us, you know. Maybe it's not that way anymore. Let's look at the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 40. Look with me at Psalm chapter 40. Gotta have your sword sharpened up for this morning. We're gonna be all over the place. Psalm chapter 40. You know my habit is to get one text and stick around right there, but today we're looking at a bunch of stuff because I want you to see, starting at Moses and through the whole Bible, that talks about Jesus coming to bless us. And so Psalm chapter 40, are you with me? All right, Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. And what else? Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I mentioned in my Sabbath school class this morning that I opened a box of cereal for breakfast this morning. Woohoo! Yay, huh? Doesn't seem like a big deal. Not a big thing, right? But think about it just for a minute. I had something to eat this morning. Was that because I did something cool? Was it because of the dead presidents that I gave to the cashier at Publix that I got that food? Uh-uh. It was because God was gracious to me. It was because God loved me. God loves us so much, He gives us breakfast, which is pretty cool. After a night of not eating. If you don't believe me, try not eating breakfast for a few days. See how long you'll go for that one, right? And if you think that's all right, then skip lunch too, right? Not going to go very long like that, are you? But God loved us enough to provide our food. And by the way, you did happen to wake up this morning, didn't you? Yeah, exactly. Was it because you were so cool that you did that? No, it's because God was there and blessed you. And God blessed you to wake up in a bed, in a house. And when you picked up your toothbrush and turned on the water, water came out. Was that because Don Wilson did that? No, it's because God made it happen. God made it happen. God does good things for us. He has thoughts toward us of peace, thoughts of a future, thoughts of hope. God loves us. Drop down, same chapter, verse 17. The same chapter, Psalm verse 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. God remembers us whatever our station in life. Wherever you are, God thinks about you and remembers you. He cares for you. Whether you're in the rich man's castle or in the poor man's dirt floor little hut, God remembers you. God is there for you. He is a thoughtful God who, in his original thoughts, decided to bless us with the coming of Jesus. And so God is thoughtful. But God has a purpose as well. God has a purpose to bless you. Maybe some of you have seen this book. Anybody seen this book? I'll bet some of you from way back there, just by the colors of it and the way it's designed, can, without reading it, because it's kind of small to be reading from way back there, but I'll bet some of you back there know what it is, huh? Some of you on the back row know what it is?
No.
Yeah, see, yeah, I figured so. It's the purpose-driven life. The purpose-driven life. And on this one, it's got a little sticker right here. It says, over 10 million copies sold. Over 10 million copies sold of this book by a pastor out in California, Rick Warren. I happened to visit his church the day he talked about this book just a little bit, after he'd actually sold 12 million copies of this book. And it was the day that he decided, or at least announced to the church, he was giving back every penny of salary he'd ever gotten. Because he'd done okay with the book, you know? So he was giving back every penny the church had ever given him for salary. So I think in a lot of ways his heart was in a good place. I'm sure there's lots of good things in this book. No, I haven't read it. What I want to talk to you is not God's purpose for your life, or more precisely, as the book I believe talks about, the purpose of your life. I want to think this morning about God's purpose. God's purpose is to bless you. Because all this starts with God. It doesn't start with me and my purpose. It starts with Him and His purpose. That's where it really begins. You see, it's been the devil's object to twist what God is all about, to twist who God is and what His purposes are. And sometimes we're led to believe that God is some tyrant just waiting for people to step out of line before He burns them. But God's purpose is to bless, to call us to Himself, to bless us. God's purpose for us from the beginning was good. Let's go back to our scripture reading for today. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin again with verse 18. Are you with me? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed. You know that song, right? Right? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, right? Or if you like the newer version, how's that one go? Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Right? Do we consider, as we say those words, what redemption really is all about? If you've been studying along with our Bible reading plan, you know we just finished Hosea not too long ago, right? And so in Hosea, the prophet is told to marry a woman who is a prostitute. And so he does. He goes and marries a woman who is a prostitute, but she continues, even after being married to him, she continues her prostitution and goes away from her husband, goes out, gets into slavery. And Hosea, think about this. Hosea, after he's first told to go and marry a woman who's a prostitute to begin with, she continues it to the point where she leaves him to go and be a prostitute, and then he's told to go back to the slave market and buy her back. Ready for that trip, gentlemen? Can we imagine what it means to be redeemed? Because, folks, we're the prostitute. You know? We're the ones who left God, you know? And yet, he comes after us. He comes after us. But Peter tells us, ooh, this is so awesome. Look at what Peter tells us. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. You can read in Hosea the price that he paid for the woman that he originally married. He bought her back with silver. But we, oh yeah. Oh yeah, we're redeemed with things better than silver and gold. Oh, look what it says. It says, we are redeemed not with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Think about that. Think about what God has done for you. He sent Jesus, the Son of God, to redeem you with His own blood. The whole world was not enough. All the silver, all the gold, all the wonderful jewels and junk and trinkets in this world are meaningless to redeem one soul. It took the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed with good things. God has a purpose to bless. God has a purpose of peace for your life. God has a purpose in mind for you, to love you, to bless you. What a great God we serve. And you can tell from the story of Hosea how persevering God is. How long could you ride a bicycle? 5 minutes? An hour? 4 hours? 5 hours? 8 hours? How about 8 days, 8 hours, and 6 minutes. Think you could ride a bike for 8 days, 8 hours, and 6 minutes? 8 days. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'll quit putting my hands in my pocket. I'll keep them right here. 8 days, 8 hours, and 6 minutes is the 2011 winner's time for, are you ready for this? The Race Across America. This guy got on a bicycle, not a motorcycle, not in a car. He got in on a bicycle in San Diego, 8 days, 8 hours, and 6 minutes later, he got off the bicycle in Washington, D.C. Oh, yeah. How would you, and I saw the course, too, from a sideways perspective. You know, the mountains you would have to climb and stuff. I'm so glad I live in Florida. Yeah. 8 days, 8 hours, and 6 minutes was the winning time. And I'll do the math for you. Over the course of, 2,989.5 miles, he averaged over 14 miles an hour. That is unbelievable. I go down onto the Van Fleet Trail going out of Polk City, and I'm feeling pretty good if I can keep it over 15 miles an hour for a couple of hours, and it's flat. Perseverance. There were several, as you can guess, who did not finish that race. Some of them were pretty fast. Some of them were not so fast. But didn't matter how fast or slow they were, they didn't finish. Others did. God is persevering. God is enduring. He continues to go through. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. I know as soon as I get to it, you will recognize Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Are you with me? Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. Why? For his mercy, come on now, endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Why? For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? For his mercy endures forever. Verse 4, to him alone does great wonders. Why? For his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. Why? For his mercy endures forever. Why did God do these things? His mercy, and it endures forever. Brothers and sisters, does God love you? Amen, absolutely. God loves you so much that in spite of all we've put him through, his mercy endures forever. Forever. God is thoughtful. He thought about us way back there. God has a purpose to bless you. And God will not be turned aside from that purpose. He endures forever. This morning, I want you to look again at Luke chapter 2, which is much more in line with what you were thinking originally, I expect. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. The angels are singing to the shepherds and they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace. Peace. You see, the manifestation of Jesus was simply the ultimate expression of what God has been trying to accomplish in this world all along. Peace to you and me. Goodwill toward men. This is what God wants for you and I. And brothers and sisters, as we look into the character of Jesus, this character of love, as these shepherds did on this night. I want your reaction to be like their reaction as they see this God of peace, as they see this God of love, as they see and hear about this one who cares for them enough to think about them before time began, as we see the one who has a purpose to bless us. In verse 15, it says, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Brothers and sisters, come and see the Lord. Come and see the Lord. Come and learn more of Him. Give your heart to Jesus. Give yourself to Him. Let this Christmas season be one where the coming of Jesus to bless finds an answering chord in our souls, because we see that God's mercy endures forever. That's what I'm wanting for you today. That you will make this a life-changing time. A time to make a difference in your life. Because God has a purpose to bless you. Maybe you've never thought about it like that. You've heard stories and stuff, and you've heard Christmas and things. But the ultimate point is, God loves you. Why, we've heard that, haven't we? John 3:16, we've heard it a million times. Did you think about it as the fact that that really is the ultimate expression of what Christmas is all about? God so loved His world that He gave His only Son. That's what it's all about. God loves you.